nation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as those in Christ, our blessed Lord is working to shape us in the life of faith. He's working to shape us from going from being those who are dominated by the sinful nature to being those who live according to the new nature, so that in our thoughts, words, and deeds, we might honor God, and that we also might be a blessing to those around us. And one of the greatest challenges for us as Christians can be our speech, or in how we use our tongues. James chapter 3 is very revealing, isn't it, about the truth about the tongue, that even though it's very small, it is very powerful and can do great damage if put to sinful use. And so we're not surprised that when we read to the book of Proverbs, we find many that deal with the tongue. In one of my study Bibles, I went through one time and I marked which deal with the third commandment and which deal with the ninth commandment. You'd be amazed at the amount of verses that connect to those. There are many things the tongue can do, and thus we're warned of its dangers. But at the same time, we're also told of the blessings that come when we use our tongues in God-glorifying ways. Proverbs chapter 15 alone says in verse 7, the lips of the wise spread knowledge. Verse 30 says, good news gives health to the bones. And verse 4 says, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. That is, the godly tongue can be a means of refreshment and blessing and joy. And it's that truth about our tongues, about our mouths, that our text focuses on, because our mouths and the things we say can be a source of joy. They can be a blessing. They can be uplifting. They can be encouraging, not only for others, but for ourselves. And that is a good thing to know. And so our focus this morning, our theme will be the joy that comes from a rightly timed word. That's the theme noted in our bulletins, the joy that comes from a rightly timed word. And we'll see that first, that the joy that comes to those who speak that word. And secondly, the joy that comes to those who receive that word. The joy that comes from a rightly timed word. Now, one of the things that comes with life in Christ is a desire to live in a Christ-like way. And that includes a desire to use our mouths and our tongues and our lips in a way that Christ has redeemed us to use them. Meaning that we desire to be a people who are truthful in what we say. We desire to be a people who are sincere in our words. We desire to be people who are helpful. We desire to be a people who edify and who build up. That, you see, beloved, is what comes with life in Christ and His ongoing work of sanctification in our hearts. And so you see, when we see that spirit of truthfulness and sincerity and helpfulness dominating and influencing the way we speak, then when we speak or when we answer someone, that spiritual work of Christ that He has done in us has a benefit. It has a benefit. It brings about a result in our hearts. And that result is the blessing of joy. Joy. Notice again what our verse says. A man finds joy in giving an apt reply. The Lord blesses the heart of the person who uses their mouth in such a way for the blessing of others. Joy. What a beautiful word. Well, what can we say about joy? Well, joy, by many senses of the definition, refers to gladness of soul, to a mirth, to a sense of happiness that wells up in us. It's that experience of cheer that warms the soul or fills the heart and brings a sense of satisfaction and contentment based on the circumstances at hand. Joy, gladness of soul, and joy in one way or another is something that everyone can experience. Joy comes in the everyday sense of the word as something rooted in our circumstances. It comes out of a situation, or it arises because of an event or a person or a people or something like that. Joy, in the normal definition of the term and how people may express where that comes from, And yet that differs markedly from the joy felt by the Christian. For the joy in the Christian's heart comes in and through and from Jesus Christ. You see, it's not merely a joy based on our circumstances or in our situation, but comes from Him and is experienced in Him. Thus, though a Christian may have cheer from circumstances that come about in life, be it at work or at home or at school, or though they may have cheer due to events that take place in life, like a baptism or a profession of faith or a graduation, it is never something, beloved, that is separated from one's life in Christ. It's never something separated from life in the new man that we have in Christ. Thus, joy, according to the Bible, has a depth and dimension to it that is not known by those outside of Christ. There is more to joy than the mere definition of the word. And so when that Christ-like spirit influences the things that you say and how you answer each one, then from that, it produces joy in you. Christ originated joy, a joy that only the Christian can know and experience. And yet, having said that, maybe we should make it a little bit more clear. Maybe we ought to make it a little bit more concrete so that we understand what we're saying. For example, say someone comes to you with a challenging question. Say they've been wrestling in their life with something that's been on their mind and they haven't found any peace at all because they don't know the answer. Maybe it's a practical question about something with regards to everyday life. Maybe it's about their finances. Maybe it's about their schooling. Or maybe it's an ethical question about what a Christian can do or what a Christian can't do in their life, or a situation at work, or a situation that has arisen in a relationship. Or maybe it's a doctrinal question that has to do with assurance, that has to do with the certainty of forgiveness and eternal life. They've been wrestling with it. They've been struggling with it, and thus they come to you. They seek you out. Thus, by God's grace, you have the right answer for them, right then and there. You tell them the answer that they have been looking for. And thus, not only are they relieved, and not only do they have peace, but there is in your heart gladness. There is in your heart joy. It arises in you because you were able to give an apt reply. And that's the sense of what our text is talking about. That idea, that joy that comes from the right answer that is given at the right situation at the right time. Now, I'm sure we've all felt that kind of joy on various occasions. Maybe for you, it wasn't over some complex or challenging question. Maybe it was a small thing, a minor thing, we might say, that someone came to you about something maybe that you didn't think was that very serious. And yet when you saw the response of that one who came to you, joy welled up in you. Joy welled up in you, knowing that you were there to help them in their time of need. Knowing that God put you there providentially to provide an answer for their souls. I'm sure we've all had that at one time. And what a wonderful feeling that is. What a great joy. To know that at that time, under those circumstances, God chose to use you, to be a blessing to somebody else. He enabled you to give advice, to impart wisdom, to give guidance to a brother or sister or a child in need. That joy is a wonderful thing we love to feel, isn't it? To know that we have been there for someone when they needed us the most. And maybe it was for someone who wasn't even a Christian. And yet God used you in the midst of their circumstance. That's a great joy. A wonderful joy. And yet we may wonder, having said all of that, we may wonder about that joy and how we feel at times. And we may wonder, well, Pastor, how far is too far? I mean, how do I know that I have joy and that I'm not really doing something sinful like gloating or boasting? But that's not really what I'm feeling in my heart. That's a good question. Because there's always the fear that as sinners, we might start to be filled with pride. And we might start to think, you know, we're pretty smart. We're pretty mature. Or as one elder said to me in my youth, getting too big for your britches. I do have the right answers. I do know what to say. We might start to take to heart what others say about us, instead of humbly acknowledging that it is the Lord who has enabled us to give that apt reply. And that's something we always need to be careful of, because those well-timed words are from the Lord, aren't they? They are of His purposing and His timing. And thus to take credit for them or to pat ourselves on the back at His expense would be to steal from the glory that He is due and to rob Him of the praise that He is to receive from us. Proverbs 16 verse 1 says, "To man belongs the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue." God is the giver of our words. And we must always be reminded of that when the answers we give have a good end or bring relief. Because it's not because we are so holy and wise, but because our holy God knows His people. And He chooses to use us to fulfill their needs. And yet, beloved, given all that, if we put aside the matter of pride and so forth, that scenario, let's say we live by that humble perspective and we're able to be there at the right time to give the right answer at a rightly timed word. What happens if that response, though, is not what we expect? What happens if the person on the other end doesn't like that rightly timed word? Let's say that answer is too challenging for them for whatever reason. Say it concerns sin. Say it concerns the call for that person to repent. Say it has to do with a matter of judgment or the reality of hell. Say they don't really appreciate what you have to say based on Holy Scripture and at that moment in their life. Given everything that we've talked about, can you still take joy in the apt reply that you've given? Sometimes we might think we'd be riddled with guilt, thinking, what did I do? I really put my foot in it. And yet, beloved, to be sure, we're going to be sad when we see someone rebel against the truth about sin, or when they become angry over the call to repent and to believe upon Jesus Christ, to turn from a current path of life they're on, to come back to another. And yet, we ought not to be filled with despair or dismay, because joy is a gift that God gives to those who speak that right word at the right time. Yes, we can still take joy. We can still have joy in the fact that we didn't back down, that we didn't sugarcoat the truth, but that we spoke that truth, and we spoke it in faith, and we spoke it in love. We did what we knew we were supposed to do, knowing that Christ would be glorified, that He would be honored, because we were faithful to confess Him before men, and thus He is faithful to confess us before the Father, as Matthew 10 verse 32 says. Jesus' words. In fact, yes, in that, friends, you can have joy. You did what you were called to do. You said what needed to be said, even though it was not well received. And maybe too, this isn't the last time you get to speak. Maybe Christ will give you more opportunities to have an apt reply. Maybe in time Christ will make that word effectual and bring that one to repentance, to a confession of sin. We don't know. That's in His hands. We are those who only sow the seed, but He is the one who brings the increase, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 7. Yes, dear friends, even in those circumstances, we can still have joy in giving an apt reply to those who ask. We can have joy in helping out a fellow Christian, or when we witness to someone outside of the faith who doesn't respond the way we'd hoped. For we've done what Christ has called us to do. And that brings Him glory. And that in turn brings glory to the Father. For indeed, we don't know how God may use the words we speak. We might not even think that we have enough knowledge about life to even begin to help others in their time of need. And yet our strength is from the Lord, is it not? As we'll hear this afternoon with David. And yet, even in spite of that, we should always be prepared. We should always be ready and desirous to give an answer to those who ask us, not only of the faith that we have in us, but of the hard questions of life, the challenging scenarios of life. And the best way that we can fit ourselves for that, the best way that we can be ready for that, is to be a people of the Word. And praise be to God that Reformed people have been a people of the Word. If your parents and grandparents raised you to read the Bible in your home, praise the Lord for that. Not many Christians do that. Not many Christians read to the Bible anymore. Not many Christians hear the Ten Commandments anymore. It's a novelty. Study the Word of God. Be filled with the knowledge of the Scripture so that you can give the best advice and share the right wisdom to men. Because the more you feed your soul, the more that will affect the answers you give. Proverbs 16:23 says, "A wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction." Proverbs 16:23, an important verse for parents. Proverbs 15, verse 2 says that the tongue of the wise commends knowledge. Commends knowledge. We need the knowledge of God's Word, and others need it too. In the New Testament, we read in 1 Peter 3:15 that we are called to always be prepared to give an answer for the faith that is in us. And again, the best way we can do that is to be immersed in the Bible. Take the time also to look at our confessions, especially the Heidelberg Catechism. It's a wonderful tool, a wonderful blessing for our faith. Take notes for preaching. Make sure that you take good study notes also when you're reading through your Bible. That way the Lord can use that great fount of spiritual treasure that's stored up in your heart at any time for the sake of those around you. Yes, rejoice, friends, when the Lord uses you to be a blessing to other people. Take joy and be encouraged in knowing that God is using you, beloved. He is using you for the benefit of your children. He is using you for the good of your brothers and sisters of the faith. He is using you as a witness to so many who do not know Jesus Christ, but who get to see Him in word and deed, and to hear Him from you as you live your life before them. But most of all, take joy in the fact that Christ is glorified by that faithful word that you have to say, even though it might be tough at times. For He is glorified in that, and He is the one who gives you the strength to do that. Thus make it your goal to glorify Him in all that you say. Because even to this, as we'll see this afternoon, you have been redeemed. We see the joy that comes to those who speak the timely word. But that brings us to our second point, the joy that comes to those who receive that timely word. To those who receive. And the second half of our verse says, how good is a timely word. The NIV puts it so succinct and clear. The New King James puts it this way, a word spoken in due season, how good it is. How good it is. Now, I'm sure you can guess that our word timely parallels that apt reply in the first half of the verse. It refers to a word that's spoken at the proper time, at an appropriate time, thus a well-timed word. And our proverb here is written in such a way as to show how special those well-timed words are to the person who receives them. Because notice the emphasis here, that such a one declares that those are good words. They're good words. Good words, and that implies really two things. Good in the sense, first of all, of being beneficial. They're beneficial. They're profitable words. They're useful words. They're words that bring blessing to the life of the one who hears them. They're not idle words. They're not careless words. They're like a well-laid table that a person walks to and feeds on. They're beneficial. They're good for the soul, whether or not they want to hear that truth or not. Irregardless, it's good for the soul. But also they're good in the sense that they bring delight. They bring delight. They're delightful words. They're pleasant words. They're words that make a heart glad and fill one with joy if they're received in the proper way. They're beneficial and they're delightful. In other words, in the different circumstances in life, there come perfectly timed words, providentially ordered words that bless us by the fact that they are the answers to our prayers, that they reveal to us what our hearts have been yearning for. Thus, they're of great benefit to us. And they bring us delight, joy, and peace. And it creates in us a sense of thankfulness, a sense of gratitude to the Lord. Because we know He hears and He answers our prayers. This is what good words do. They are nourishment for the soul and they are joy to the heart. And how they lift us up and help us and push us on for the Christian life. Now I'm sure we've all been blessed by timely words spoken to us in our hour of need. Or in the time of a great spiritual struggle. A time of ongoing discouragement because of work or circumstances. Maybe we went to someone for help. Maybe we went to a friend for guidance or comfort. Or maybe we didn't expect it at all, you know. Sometimes we get so down in the dumps or we get frustrated by our own troubles that we don't even think of looking to a friend, to a parent, or some other person for help and support. And yet, into our lives comes someone to speak a word. Into our lives comes someone to share advice or to provide comfort. And thus it so affects us that soon we forget our troubles. They don't seem to be as big a burden as they did before. Or we just relish the fact that this answer has finally come. We have peace. I'm sure we've all had moments like that when a timely word came when we needed it the most. But on the other hand, I'm sure we've been on the receiving end and maybe even on the giving end of words that weren't so well timed. Of words that might have been better off not being said at all. For sometimes words can be said out of anger or frustration. Maybe we don't want to be bothered when someone comes and seeks us out, and thus we're rather gruff and maybe not in the most pleasant of moods. And so though, even though we may speak to them what is true, we don't see the positive effect that we hoped. They're words that don't uplift. They're words that don't build up because of the way we act, because of our own hearts, because of how we respond to them in the midst of their situation. Or maybe our words are just poorly timed. Sometimes we in the Dutch tradition have a way of doing that. Poorly timed words. But then again, we're sinful and we stumble and we're not perfect. Maybe sometimes we lack tact. Maybe sometimes we lack sensitivity. It's part of the human condition. No one ethnic group is different than another. And thus the Proverbs continue to remind us again and again of the type of spirit and attitude that is to mark us. One of calmness, one of quiet assurance. Trusting in God's Word and trusting in His leading. And also a sensitive awareness of the needs and feelings of those around us. Solomon was wise, and the wise spirit that God gave him in understanding affects much of those proverbs that we read. And it makes sense, these kind of things that are to mark us, because really when you think about it, these are the very things that are part of that Christ-like spirit that dwells in us as those who have the new man. Thus the proverbs are filled with warnings and encouragements. Proverbs 15 verse 1 says, harsh words stirs up anger. But then verse 28 goes on to say, the heart of the righteous weighs its anger, its answers. We're careful and cautious and sensitive to others' needs. The Apostle Paul also in Ephesians 4:29 says that we should only speak what is helpful for building each other up according to our needs. And then, of course, the ultimate authority, our Lord Jesus Christ, says in Luke 6, verse 31, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. What we often call the golden rule. And yet how true it is. Do unto others not as they do unto you, but as you would have them do unto you. That in your time of need, you would want to hear that truth in a caring, loving, and Christ-like way. Yes, how wonderful that well-timed word can be when we're hurting, or when we're uncertain about the future, or when we're just plain scared or fearful. How good that word can be when we need correction, when we're backsliding in the Christian faith, when we're anything but consistent, and then that word comes and convicts us of our sin, and it points us in the way of obedience. How good that word can be when we don't know Christ, when we're outside the covenants of promise, and that well-timed word comes in the gospel of salvation, good news of eternal life. Yes, that word can take all manner and shape and form and enter our lives for good, for our benefit, and for our delight. We could give example after example from Scripture about the blessings of well-timed words. Thus, we just name a few. Think of Abigail, who kept David from killing wicked Nabal in his wrath. 1 Samuel 25, the words of a wise woman to a hot-headed man. Think of Manoah's wife, who upheld his faith in the time of trial, Judges 13. Or think of the Apostle Paul, who stayed the hand of a Philippian jailer who's going to kill himself. And thus, God opened the door by means that this elect child would be brought to saving faith. Acts 16. There are many such accounts in Scripture that show us and remind us of how providentially timed words can be used in the lives of men and women and children, people such as you and I. And dear friends, the body of Christ, the church of our Lord, is the blessed place for these kind of words to flourish and to abound. For these kinds of words thrive in the midst of a people who are drawn together and bound together and share together in Christ and in the Holy Spirit, and who live out that love, even as we heard in the law this morning. In that setting, Christians know one another. In that setting, they commune with each other. And when that communion flourishes, so do helpful, encouraging, upbuilding, and wonderfully well-timed words. Words that strengthen, words that comfort, words that convict, words that challenge, words that are there for the good of the soul and for the delight of the heart. This is what we are called to. Because you see, beloved, Christ has bore our sin of blasphemy. He has borne the sin of our wicked mouths, so that in this life we might be able to speak and to comfort and exhort by His power and with His love to the blessing of each other in the church of Jesus Christ. Yes, this is what Christ has done for us, that we might speak and so that we might receive joy that comes from such words in our lives. Yes, dear people of God, let us always be thankful for the way the Lord uses us for our mutual benefit and encouragement. Seek to give thanks for those well-timed words that He sends your way, and do not take them for granted. Consider the situation, consider the source, and always remember that even though sometimes the medicine might be painful, God means it for good, for your encouragement and for your growth in Christ. And above all, be those people who speak such words. Because again, for this you have been redeemed in Christ, so that by your mouths you might be a blessing to others in their time of need, even as the Lord has been a blessing to you in your life. To God be the glory. Amen. Our song of response